For more than a year, the Education Department has been in a tussle with for-profit colleges and universities. The government says many students are lured with false claims of future employment and salaries, and that they often graduate without sufficient skills and therefore default on student loans at a higher rate than attendees of traditional colleges and universities. Well, new regulations would cut those federal loans available to students of the schools. Harris Mills is president and CEO of the Association of Private Sector Colleges and Universities, APSCU, and he joins us now live with how the industry sees the federal government's actions. Mr. Mills, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
I'm pleased to be with you this morning.
So the government's move to do this, where do you see this as far as being accurate and fair with respect to performance of for-profit colleges?
Well, first of all, we certainly believe that our sector of higher education, like all of higher education, needs to be regulated to make sure that schools keep the proper balance between their need to raise funds, which you have to do in a non-profit school just as well as a for-profit school, and the primary purpose, which is to educate. And some rules are very good, but this particular rule is very bad. Number one, it's unfair because it only targets lower-income students and working adults who attend our schools. It doesn't apply to all of higher education. Secondly, it's not going to get the job done. As Congressman Rob Andrews and many other people have pointed out, a very high-quality school could easily fail this test, like Harvard Medical School, if it were applicable to them, whereas schools that just have a ho-hum record could pass just because they have a lower cost. And thirdly, and this is a very, very important issue, it doesn't address the fundamental issue, which is student loan defaults, as you mentioned. There are things the administration could do, and thankfully they've announced at least a pilot program, which is allowing administrators at schools, the financial aid administrators, to tell students to stop borrowing. Believe it or not, we can counsel students, we can provide financial literacy, but if a student insists on receiving his or her maximum loan amount, we have to give it to them. And if a student can go out and get a private loan, all that we can tell the bank is whether the student is enrolled or not, whether the student only needs the money. So what we find is a huge percentage of the students who default are students who are borrowing money above the cost of education for a new TV set or a new car, whatever it might be. And we need to be able to give the financial aid administrators the authority to practice tough love and tell students, no, I'm sorry, this is too much given what you need to pay for your education.
Now, earlier this year, the organization APSCU sued the federal government, the Education Department. What's the status of that versus the regulations?
Regulations that were published last October, Tom, are still before the judge under challenge under what's called the Administrative Procedures Act, which I know you're very familiar with, and Judge Collier hasn't expressed an opinion yet. One of those issues, though, is actually going to also be voted on in the Congress tomorrow. Congresswoman Virginia Fox from North Carolina, the chairwoman of the Higher Education Subcommittee, is introduced a bill that will be voted on in the committee tomorrow, which would prohibit the department from implementing one of those, a so-called state authorization. It's interesting what that bill basically, what that rule basically does is it turns 25 years of internet history on its head. What the department wants to say is that in every state in which a school has a student, if it's an online school, the school would have to register and get state approval. Well, that's like saying that Amazon would have to get a business license in every state in which someone buys a book from Amazon. Well, internet law and way up through the Supreme Court has said that that's not permitted under the Constitution, forcing commercial interests to do that. And yet the Department of Education is trying to do exactly that by forcing schools with online operations to register and get approval in every state in which they have a student. So we're opposing it, as is the traditional higher education community, because it's so counter the whole basic operation of the internet.
We are speaking with Harris Miller, the president and CEO of the Association of Private Sector Colleges and Universities. And I wanted to ask you how all of this debate has affected the federal market for the members of your organization, you know, the for-profit colleges, because I know that especially in the Defense Department, they have been regular users of those institutions. Has this dampened that market a little bit?
From what we can tell, only slightly, all the controversy. What has really affected some schools is there's just more competition for the federal employees and for active duty military. You not only have schools in our sector many of them located in Washington, but many of them operating around the country and near military facilities. But you also have schools in traditional higher education. In fact, the University of Maryland University College, based just nearby here in College Park, is one of the largest not-for-profit online schools. And basically, if you follow their programs and listen to their advertisements, they sound almost exactly like one of our schools. They focus on the flexibility of their offerings. They focus on serving the student, not serving the faculty. They focus on helping you get ahead in your job. And that's exactly what our schools focus on. We focus on getting people either advancements in their career if they're already in the government and they need that additional degree to get ahead. And we focus on people who do not have a career or want to switch a career, getting the education they need. So, again, we find that people in the military, active duty military, veterans, people in government who need to get ahead like our programs because we do offer the flexibility that you often do not get in a traditional school. If you're a working adult, you've got a job with the federal government, you've got some kids, you've got a family obligations, and you go to a traditional school and they say, well, the only time you can take this class is Monday and Wednesday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., you know right away, Tom, that that's not going to work for you. You're going to look for a program that offers the program in flexible times or offers it online because the program has to suit your lifestyle, has to suit the fact that you have a job and you have a family. Unlike a so-called traditional student who takes 2 years or 4 years out of his or her life and can devote it entirely to education, the vast majority of our students are students who have to balance these three things, the job, the family, and the education.
And do you happen to have a rundown or a breakdown, rather, of the types of fields that of study that feds would be most interested in, that there's a more demand for from folks going into the federal government?
We don't have hard numbers, but I can tell you from anecdotal evidence that education is one, business is one, more and more cybersecurity is one because it's obviously a big issue today in the government. We find some people who want business degrees, MBAs. It's not necessarily a requirement, but often in a federal government agency that gives the person a certain edge up in competition for open jobs. And then healthcare is a huge field for us, too, generally across the country and specifically for people in the federal government, because you have a lot of people who may be working at fairly low-level positions in the federal government because they don't have the certificates or degrees that they need, and they find our schools and their flexibility a great way to get that. The other thing, Amy, that's important to our students and important to feds who enroll in our programs is getting ahead quickly. As you know, people in traditional higher education still use an annual schedule based on the time when we were an agrarian economy. They take off June, July, and August. They take off much of the month of December and January. And that means it takes 4 full calendar years to get a 4-year degree. It takes 2 full calendar years to get an associate degree. Our schools don't believe in those three magic words of academia, June, July, and August. Those are just 3 more months you go to school. So a federal employee who enrolls in our school often finds he or she can get a 4-year degree in 3 years or get a 2-year degree in 18 months or even 15 months. And again, for a working adult who's already 28 or 29 or 30, that may be very appealing, whereas someone who's a lot younger may really want to spend all 4 years in school.